There have been a lot of changes here in Washington, D.C. and in state houses around the country as a result of the elections in November. We're doing a series to introduce you to some of the new voices in politics. And joining us now is Claire McCaskill, Democrat of Missouri, who won a much closely watched race against Jim Talent, the incumbent Republican, on November 7th. And Claire McCaskill is kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for being with us and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And you're here in Washington, I assume, to get some orientation and figure out where you're going to be living for the next 6 years. What's your first impression as you get your walks around the Capitol and the Senate building?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm very starry-eyed. I just came from my first opportunity to step foot on the Senate floor and to walk through the cloakroom. And it is, for someone who has been a student of government since I was a very small child and someone who worked for Stuart Symington Senate campaigns and Tom Eagleton Senate campaigns, It is a very special moment, and I'm thrilled to be here and anxious to get to work.
If you have questions for Claire McCaskill, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And even from that short answer, I think people can understand you come from a political family.
Well, my family was active. I was brought up around a dinner table where political service was talked about in hushed tones. It wasn't something that was considered a direct derogatory reference. My family was not, my mother was on the city council when I was in high school. But other than that, they really were just people. I mean, I grew up stuffing envelopes around the kitchen table and listening to my mother talk on the phone about, you know, getting people involved. And they were participants, but they were not powerful people in a traditional sense of the word. They were grassroots interested people that brought me up going to political events, handing out fans and nail files with my little sister when I was very young. And so I was exposed to it and took interest in it from a pretty young age.
Always a Democrat?
Always a Democrat. There have been times that I have voted for Republicans. I will not reveal which times, however. I do believe that we need to carefully look at individuals that are running for office. I don't think it's enough just to have a party label. I think, frankly, the party labels in this town have gotten in the way of real progress, particularly lately.
Mm-hmm. And this has been, as I'm sure people have told you, a remarkably mutual disarmament seems to have been the law of the land since November the 7th. Both sides have been pretty quiet, but that's unusual, which I'm sure you've heard too.
And I don't know if it's just this brief lull before the storm. I know that part of the value I hope to bring to Washington is I come from a state that is very deeply divided. Missouri will never be bright red or bright blue. Mm. It has certainly trended more red in recent elections, but it still is a pretty reliable bellwether for the rest of the nation. And I think this election was no exception to that. Coming from a state that's so divided, participating in the United States Senate in a country that's so divided, I think I have an obligation to find that grand and glorious middle without compromising principle. But really what they have, it's kind of devolved into this over the last couple of years. The Republicans wanted to make the Democrats vote on bills that would be difficult for them to explain, and the Democrats wanted to block bills that would make the Republicans look good. And as a result, there really hasn't been any kind of progress that they should be proud of. We need to obviously change that kind of environment. And I'm serious that there should be no swaggering on the parts of Democrats around this town. It was a close election. It was not a mandate. We need to be very careful with the power we've been given and use a velvet glove instead of a 2x4 to try to move forward on some of the problems that I think really need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. As you look at the issues that are coming up to vote, well, let me ask you first about local politics back in Missouri. You ran for governor 2 years ago and fairly close election, but you lost. What was different this time around?
Well, a couple of things were different. First of all, I defeated the incumbent Democratic governor in a primary. And obviously, that is a very unusual thing to happen in politics, and there are certain prices that are paid for that. And I think that I don't regret that decision because I don't think the governor was in a position to win the November election. But it made it much more difficult to start from basically nothing the day after the primary. Whereas Governor Blunt, Roy Blunt's son, had been preparing for the race and had no primary. So he really came out of the gate after the primary with much more preparation than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, President Bush was popular in Missouri 2 years ago. His approval rating was very strong, unlike today. So you had Governor Blunt has had difficulty in office and has struggled with his approval rating. President Bush has struggled in terms of the way Missourians perceive his leadership. And I think Senator Talent was kind of stuck in the middle, trying to extricate himself from the sense that people in Missouri wanted change. And he tried to say he was about change. Well, it's kind of hard if you're an incumbent senator with the majority party and the party of the president to say you're all about change. I think I was able to deliver a message of change that resonated much more effectively.
I should just say Governor Blunt is the son of Roy Blunt, who is the congressman from Missouri and I think number two now in the Republican
Correct.
Leadership in the next Congress. Anyway, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Claire McCaskill, Senator-elect from Missouri, is with us here in Studio 3A. 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Sue. Sue calling us from Kansas City.
Hi, this is Sue. McCaskill, I've been following. I actually live in Kansas, but I've been following your campaigns over the years. And I just have a quick comment. I was so excited that you were running. And my friends and I all over the country stayed up all night long cheering for the hoping and praying that you came out ahead, and I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I claim part of Kansas. You all are in the greater Kansas City area, and it is one metropolitan area. I know you can't vote for me, but there have been a lot of people in Kansas that have helped in all of the campaigns I've run, and so thank you for that. Thanks for your call.
And I'm sure she regrets keeping you up so late, but happy that the result was what you hoped for, Sue.
Oh, yes, fabulous.
Thanks very much for the call.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to Kathleen. Kathleen with us from Ohio.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Senator McCaskill, I saw you before the election, and I believe it was on MSNBC with Chris Matthews, when he asked you whether you would vote for or against the nomination of John Bolton. And you, I believe, what I remember you saying is that you would more than likely vote for John Bolton. So I'm wondering why you would vote yes on that. And I'm also wondering whether you think the American people deserve to see those responsible for creation and dissemination of the false pre-war intelligence, phase two of the SFCI, implemented.
John Bolton, of course, appointed ambassador to the United Nations by President Bush in a recess appointment. It was not approved by the Senate. It is coming back now, Senator-elect McCaskill.
What I said in that interview and what I believe is that there's a fairly high bar, particularly for non-judicial appointments that the president has in the area of foreign policy in terms of rejecting his appointments. What I said is I would want to hear very carefully. I know his history as it relates to being supportive of the United Nations. I think the important thing right now is that any nominee to be ambassador to the UN understands that this is no time to retreat from trying to work with other countries. I think this administration has suffered greatly because they have never taken seriously the strength of alliances as it relates to the safety of our nation. And I think that with all the problems at the UN and everything that it embraces that is frustrating for Americans, it still remains the most important institution for global cooperation that exists. And it is something that we need to take care of and that we need to continue to work on. And I think that even though this is a presidential appointment that is due deference, I would want to make sure that Bolton understood how important it was to me as a United States senator that he is supportive of the United Nations and everything that it embraces.
So I hear that as a probable yes for John
Bolton? A probable yes.
Okay.
And what do you feel about the phase two of the SFCI that Senator Pat Roberts did his best to interfere and kind of delay and dismiss?
The Senate Select Committee
sure.
on Intelligence. Go ahead.
Yes.
I think that I was proud of Senator Reid and the action he took that was bold and dramatic in expressing the frustration of the minority in the Senate at the point in time that we were not getting the kind of answers. I am big on getting answers. This shouldn't be about the blame game or gotcha, but we can do better. Can improve.
If you don't hold people accountable, then we're watching some of the same individuals repeat some of the same strategies in regard to Iran. So if you don't hold people accountable, they're free to kind of repeat the same sort of strategy.
Well, I think that you're going to see an atmosphere of accountability. I hope it doesn't get carried away into, partisan stuff. But, I've talked a great deal about, particularly as it relates to the financial end of the war in Iraq and the complete abdication of the Senate and Congress at looking at how this money is being spent and why people are getting rich off this war. Not only has this war been a mistake, and not only do we need to get out of Iraq, but we also need to figure out why it is that there are companies that are getting rich off this war, why we can't get the right armor on the men and women. So I do think that there is an accountability piece that needs to be there. But I am respectful of the presidential power of appointment.
Kathleen, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
We're talking today with Senator-elect Claire McCaskill, Democrat of Missouri, one of the new voices in politics. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, you had said before the election that you would like to lead a Harry Truman-style investigation into waste and fraud. Of course, then-Senator Truman did so famously during the Second World War. You're going to be appointed. You've been named a member of the Armed Services Committee. Is that going to give you the opportunity?
I hope so. I'm not naive about being number 97. In terms
of seniority.
Exactly. I am a freshman, and I know that I do not have the ability that some senior senators would have to lead a committee like that. But I'm anxious to visit with Senator Levin and let him know how serious I am about participating in a committee like that. My background lends itself to this work. I've been an auditor for the last 8 years. Before that, I was a prosecutor. I think that skill set is needed right now on that committee, getting answers as to why we're doing cost-plus contracts and no-bid contracts. I mean, cost-plus contracts have no place in government, absolutely no place. A cost-plus contract is a license to spend money that doesn't need to be spent. And so I want to get to the bottom of that. And, you know, Harry Truman did do that. This is Harry Truman's Senate seat. I admire Harry Truman because he was very plain-spoken. He wasn't afraid of making people mad. And I think one of the problems that happens in Washington, D.C., people get here and they learn how to speak and say nothing. You know, they're here for a few years and all of a sudden they'll speak for like two or three paragraphs and you'll go, boy, that really sounded good, but they said absolutely nothing. They shave the edges and try to make everybody happy. I really want to work hard to make sure I don't start shaving the edges. I'm willing to say things, you know, maybe like some of the things I've already said on this program, that are not what people want to hear, but what I really believe. And I think if I can keep in mind that I don't have to have every vote, I stay true to the things I believe in, that maybe I can get some things done.
Let's get another caller in. This is Steve. Steve with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And congratulations, Senator. You ran an impressive campaign. I wanted to ask about how you might reconcile reducing agriculture subsidies and promoting renewable fuels. I know Missouri is a home of the National Biodiesel Board, and it's a big issue nationally, even as the WTO might force reduction in agricultural subsidies. How might that affect your district, and do you have any plans?
Well, I think it's a really good question, and the farm bill is huge, and it may not be next year. My sense is that we may end up not writing the farm bill until 2008, but clearly I'm going to be a United States senator as the farm bill is rewritten. And when you overlay the issues of trade and farm supports with the farm bill, with the need for alternative energy, we're talking about one of those classic, very difficult Washington problems. I believe that alternative energy is important. I believe that subsidies to jumpstart that particular segment of our agricultural economy is very important because we need to, for national security reasons, for environmental reasons, it is very important. If the government were ever going to help, this is a really good place to help get something started because of those two considerations. And so I think it we need to fight in terms of our trade agreements to make sure that we can continue to foster the alternative fuel industry in this country, particularly over the next decade. Having said that, I'm also very concerned about the consolidation of the economy within the agricultural sector. It is in Missouri, for example, we used to be the number one state in the country for feeder pig operations. There were over 20,000 feeder pig farms in Missouri as little as 8 years ago. We're down to like 2,500 now because of the concentration in that industry in just a very few places. And we have more concentration in slaughterhouses now than we had when Upton Sinclair wrote the book. When the laws were passed, the jungle, in terms of antitrust laws in this country, we now have more consolidation. And instead of using, you know, children in Chicago, we have a lot of immigrants in rural Missouri and other agricultural states.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because within the biodiesel producing debate right now is the question of feedstock. And soybeans represent the dominant feedstock for biodiesel production. But here in the Northwest, canola is probably a better source, and that's a challenge.
It is. And so I want to make sure we keep competition in our agricultural economy. It's something that's going to be a little difficult to do because of the vice grip that some of the large agricultural companies have on Washington. But it's one place where I want to try to throw a few elbows.
Steve, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We just have a few seconds left with you, Senator-elect McCaskill. You've been given one of the great luxuries in American politics. The Constitution grants senators six-year terms. You have a chance to look back from 2012 and say, what did I get done? So 6 years from now, what will you hope you'll be able to look back and say, well, at least I got this done?
It's a really good question. I hope that I can consistently bring to the process in everything I do in the Senate a real discipline about making government work more effectively with less money. I really do think it's a little out of control out here. This earmark process is obscene. The idea that we are putting public projects in a budget without anybody knowing what they are, without, you know, cost-benefit analysis, without public hearings, I'd like to see the number of earmarks reduced dramatically by the time I ask the voters for another chance.
Claire McCaskill, good luck with that ambition.
Thank you so much.
Claire McCaskill, Senator-elect from Missouri, a Democrat. She joined us here in Studio 3A. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.